This is the brain language podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Susan Stageman. Alex is taking a brief time off. He's very, very busy. So I thought I would talk about time and how this seems to be in short supply these days. And perhaps I could share a little light on how you could create more effective time organization. So remember Mick Jagger singing years ago, "Time is on our side." It seems like I could just still hear him singing that song. Time is something that people seem to need more of these days, but everybody has the same amount of time. So what is different about individuals who seem to have enough time to accomplish things and those who struggle with getting things done in the allotted time? There is a difference. Some would say that some people are more organized and that they get more done. Organization does help. However, what makes a person more organized? Or how does a person manage to take twice as long as another person to do the same thing? When people call me and they say, well, I want to take a time management class, because there is no such thing, I wonder if they really know what they're asking for. All right. So first, people do not manage time from the start. People who want better time management are already asking for the impossible, which is why they never seem to accomplish time management. Consider the expression, "time got away from me," as if time were on a leash and managed to break free. Time doesn't get away from people. People plan to do too much in too little time. They don't know how long something's going to take, or they make an error in estimating how long something will take. So if your idea is to manage time, you're already on the losing side of the proposition. Time cannot be managed. Time just is. Time is a concept. It doesn't really exist. Second, time shifts or gets distorted depending on your focus and concentration. Were you ever so engrossed in something that time just flew by? Consider the phrase, "time flew by," as if time were a bird. Time does not have wings, although I've seen pictures of a clock with wings, a metaphor for the phrase, "time flies." Or consider, "I lost track of time," as if time were something you could focus on continually and watch like a child on a playground. Or what about when you were bored? Time goes by so slowly. Time stands still. All of these above that I just mentioned are linguistic metaphors assigned to the characteristics of time, which of course doesn't exist. Remember, time is a concept, so time cannot be managed. It can't fly, it can't stand still, and it can't get off track. So managing time is an oxymoron. This is why people have such a hard time managing it. So what are we left with? Of course, what to do in time? How can I manage the activities I have to do in the time allotted? Here are some NLP concepts that will help you understand time. Our minds organize time in certain ways. Imagine that all of your experiences in life are lined up end to end in what we call a timeline. Now, a business has adopted this phrase or word timeline to indicate the various steps along a project in order to accomplishment. So the past goes to the future. Now, question for you. How much space is between each experience? Is there a lot of space or a little? This is something that you're going to have to go inside and get a feeling for. That is there a lot of space through each event, or are the events seem to be lined up pretty close together. How do you think organizing your experience each way affects your ability to accomplish things? If your mind organizes experience with spaces between, it will take more time to do something, or will it take less time? Remember, everyone has the same amount of time. So if your spaces are spread out, it's going to take you more time to do something than if your spaces are close together. So consider your position on the timeline. This is something else. You'll have to close your eyes and you'll have to get an idea of time, where time is. Where's your past and where's your future? Does your timeline run through you from front to back, with your future in front of you or your past behind you? This is called in time. Or are you off the timeline and you see your past, present, and future sweep from the left to the right so you can see all of your timeline? This is called through time. Americans tend to be in time, but that does not necessarily mean that we can't do through time. We just tend as a culture to be in time, very event driven. So which do you think is better for getting things finished in a specific amount of time? In time tends to be more event driven, with in time between times where nothing is happening. And for someone who naturally does in time, that can be very frustrating. So you may set something in motion and then there seems to be a period of time where nothing is happening. That's called between time. That can be very frustrating because you think things should be moving and they may be moving, but you're not aware of it. It's very much like for us where we have change of seasons. What happens is when the earth starts to, you know, change, and the sun becomes higher in the sky and it starts to get warmer. And what happens is sap starts to come back up into the trees. And as it does that, it starts to produce new leaves and then spring happens. For an in-time person, spring happens on a Tuesday afternoon all at once. All at once, it's spring. But our seasons don't change like that. Our seasons are an evolution. So that's what I mean by between time. Between time is when the sap is coming up to the tree from the ground and you're still waiting to see some kind of sign that there's spring. Where through time, when people are through time, there's something going on all the time. They see the process, the evolution of it. So they see little changes every day that let them know something is happening. So which do you think is better for getting things done in a specific amount of time? Again, time in time tends to be event driven, with between times when nothing is happening. Very good if you have a list of things to do. Through time tends to be process driven. You see the whole process through time. It's very good if you're learning something or building something. People who want to lose weight or become more healthy, will they be more successful being in time or through time? You see, a lot of things like learning, developing good health behaviors and habits are through time. Losing weight is through time. When you're in time, you start an eating plan, a diet, and you expect immediate results. And then if you don't get immediate results in a few days, then you go back to the old habits. Through time, losing weight through time means that every day you're doing something and there's as a result, things are happening. The scale might not move, but they feel imperceptibly different every day as time goes on. Losing weight and learning, working on a project over time, writing a book, these are not events. They're through time processes, especially if they take more than a little amount of time. A thin time person, when they're in a weight loss program, will tend to get discouraged every day if they don't lose a pound or eat an improper diet or quit before they accomplish their goal. People who are mainly through time tend not to be as conscientious about keeping precise time. They may be late to things. They think they have all the time in the world. When you're in time, you tend to be more punctual. There are times when we want to be in time and times when we want to be through time. So just imagine in time, timeline runs through people, future is ahead of them, past is behind. Through time, they're off the timeline, and the timeline runs in front of them almost like a slight curve or a V. Sometimes it runs straight, but one is an associated position where the timeline goes through. The other one is a dissociated position. So you can see the progress of thing. Consider the phrase no time, as in I'll be in and out and no time. This is the language that my trainer used years ago when her partner asked how long it would take her to go to the bank before they left on a trip. And she said, well, I'll be in and out of the bank in no time, when in fact, the trip to the bank took an hour. Do you think she was able to accomplish things on time? Another structural issue about organization is how your mind stores information in certain contexts. In contexts that you are very organized, experiences, pictures are usually stored sequentially, so you can look at them one at a time. When things are chaotic, the experiences tend to be simultaneous, like in a collage. You cannot focus on any one thing and tend to get confused. So the final concept to consider is whether you tend to follow procedures or do you enjoy generating options and possibilities. If the procedure is effective and energy saving, following it can get a lot of things finished. If the procedure is inadequate, then it will take more time than you need to take, and you may not realize that the procedure is not working. The whole focus is finishing the procedure, not necessarily the results of the procedure. Options generators tend to bounce from one thing to another without finishing things. Making a list is like following a procedure. If you don't like procedures, then you probably don't exercise, follow a diet plan, make consistent money, or get a lot of things done. And the list ends up underneath the seat of your car. So how can you be better managers of activities? First, make sure that you are wanting to accomplish is achievable in the time allotted. Oftentimes, people don't get things done because they haven't allotted enough time to get something finished. This means you will have to have a good estimate of how long something will take. If it's the first time you've done something, you might ask a variety of people who have and get an estimate. Second, make sure your task is connected to something you value and your overall achievements. In other words, ask yourself, what will doing this do for me or get for me? What's important to me about doing this? What will it get me long-term or through time? Is it worthwhile? Goals that are connected to your higher criteria or values tend to get priority. Three, prioritize the importance of things. Separate items into critical functions and like to accomplish. This will help you naturally prioritize. When I worked at Mobil, I had three boxes on the front of my desk. The A box is where things I had to get finished because my job depended on it, and there was a deadline attached to it. This is where I would have to be in time. The B box was get to later box because they weren't critical. You know, like organizing a filing cabinet. If I had some time on my hands, I would have a list of things that I could use that time for. They're not critical functions, but in the great scheme of things, they might help in the overall efficiency of the office. This is more through time. I could do this a little at a time until it was finished. The C box was hold and eventually throw out. I went on vacation 4 times a year, and before I closed my office door, I would take everything in the C box and toss it in the waste paper basket. Nothing was ever said about those items in the box. Most of the items were time wasters and not critical to the function of my department or anyone in it. Okay, number 4, take a critical look on the priority list. It's critical that everything be finished right now. Is that true? You know, sometimes people get this idea, I have to do this now. Well, then I have to do this now. And generally speaking, that's not usually the case if you look at it critically. In other words, what do you absolutely need to get done in the allotted time? This is where prioritizing becomes critical. You know, oftentimes people have difficulty doing things because instead of using a hierarchy of criteria, what's really important, they use lateral criteria. And so each one of them has the same weight, when in fact, that's not really true, generally speaking. Ever have a list of must-dos before going on vacation? I do. I catch myself having to think, I could do this and get this finished and take these clothes to be donated, when in fact, with the time allotted, there are much more pressing matters that have to be taken care of, like calling the dog sitter, watering plants, although in a pinch, I can get the dog sitter to do that. Consciously considering each item helps you determine what's critical for successful operation and what is like to do, quote unquote. What happens to people with more things to do than the allotted time is that, again, they're using lateral criteria. In other words, all the tasks carry the same weight, when in fact, some things are more urgent than others. 5, determine how long it will take to do each item. Be realistic. Take into consideration traffic conditions, if that's relevant, time of day, if there are errands, what can be done online or calls you can make. In NLP, we call this chunking. To have a good organization strategy, you must be able to chunk appropriately. Chunk a large job into smaller pieces or chunks and how those may be possible to get done at separate times. I've always liked recipes where you can prepare certain things at certain time, put it in the refrigerator, and then right before I'm going to serve dinner, just pop it in the oven. That can be very time-saving when you have a lot to do. The other thing I have found is that going back to the online situation, there's so many things that you can order online now that it almost is a time waster to go and try to find it in a store. One of the things we're noticing here in Dallas is apparently a lot of product is being produced, but it's not getting to the stores. I think it's because of the trucking industry, and there are a lot of, they just don't have the drivers right now. So a lot of orders are backed up. So when we go to the store, there are a lot of things that aren't on the shelf. And one of them is my favorite water. Most of the time I drink filtered water from my house, but occasionally I like to have a bottled water to take with me or something at room temperature. Well, I'm having a tough time finding it on the shelves. Finally, after going to a couple of stores, I just decided to order it online because I don't want to waste my time going from store to store to store when I don't even know if they have it in stock. Now, set boundaries. This is number 6. Set boundaries with people. If you have a goal, then don't let other people take time away from you in inappropriate priorities. Tell them you'll get back with them later when your list isn't so long. don't answer the phone if you don't have time to deal with what's potentially might be on the other line. For instance, answering the phone as you leave the office and you're going to be late. That's what we have voicemail for, or texting. Unless you're on call or a doctor or some other critical function, computer tech after hours, etc., the phone can wait. 7, focus on one thing at a time. Make yourself do it. This is process versus event, and it's procedure versus options. After finishing it, make yourself do it and finish it before going on to the next thing. I had a boss who wouldn't let her assistant have anything on her desk except for what she was working on right at the moment. This kept distractions to a minimum. In my practice, I find many people who get distracted by things that aren't even relevant and think they have to do more than what they need to. Being present is a key element to getting things accomplished. 8. Use language such as, I have plenty of time, as opposed to, I'm running out of time, or I don't have enough time. Remember, time is not a commodity, it's a concept. 9, we have these words that we use to motivate us. In NLP, we call them modal operators, or operating modes. Operating modes are words such as need, have to, want to. These are operating modes of necessity. Ought to, should, could, would. They're attached to our motivation strategies. Consider things that you do without question. Do you do them because you need to do them, you want to do them, you have to do them, you should do them? These are critical words in triggering action. Now consider something you want to do, but can't motivate yourself to do it. What do you tell yourself? That you need to do it, have to do it, should, etc.? Generally, you find that the operating mode you use is different. Your mind has a deep unconscious perception of what is critical and what is not. And there's a number of ways to get around this. First, change the word that you use for critical items. If you do things out of need, then make what you want to do or should do a need to do. Shelve it until the next time or the time is right, and it seems like accomplishing it would be more appropriate. And then get it off your list and let it go. It's like cleaning out your garage or closet. It's just clutter in your mind, and it interferes with getting things done that are critical. It also makes it seem like you're not getting what you want. So I want you to be aware of something. There are a lot of, shall we say, ignorant, but good intentioned people who will tell you never use the words need to, should, have to, etc. We're not talking about emotional content here when we're referring to operating modes. We are talking about structure and strategy. It is the difference between comparing the color of wall paint and the 2x4 that's holding up the wall. One is subjective, the other one is objective. I'm talking about the structural use of these words as part of how we motivate ourselves and prioritize tasks. Okay, 10, be procedural, not options. Everyone does procedures. They're called routines. Develop a routine for organizing and prioritizing things on a list. And then 11, and the final one, I know I've been going on and on here, make a list on paper. Unless you are trained in how to use memory pegs, you probably won't remember everything on a list, or you'll have so many pictures flashing at you from inside your head trying to remember everything that you can get panicky. Make a written list. Check it off and cross things off. All right, so here's the Cliff Notes version. 1, time is a concept, you can't manage it. 2, you can learn to effectively organize activity in time by chunking in realistic chunks, prioritizing and removing things that aren't critical to the function of the operation. 3, make lists, develop and follow procedures. 4, know realistically how much time each item takes. 5, set boundaries. 6, focus and be present and eliminate distractions. 8, use appropriate language to move yourself towards your goals. 9, be in time or through time, event or process driven, depending on the goal. And then finally, get rid of or let go of things that you honestly are not going to do because they're not a priority. They're those things that, well, we'd like to go do, this would be nice, but they may not be realistic and you may not be able to afford it. Time management is one of the most overused and least understood concepts. It's not that we don't manage time correctly. It's how we manage activity and time. And that has a lot to do with how we perceive time internally and how we structure time internally. Our ability to focus, whether we are options or procedures, in time or through time, process or event driven, what criteria we are applying to the task, the language we use around time, in addition to whether we set goals which are achievable, ecological, and appropriately chunked, which is realistic. I hope you've enjoyed this little rundown on time and managing activity and time. And I trust that you will be able to glean something through that that will help you be a better organizer. If you need help with this, which is something I do almost every day with people, and the busier they are, the more they call panic that they don't have enough time, I'll be happy to help you. You can reach me in the States by calling 214-351-5433. That's my office number. Or you can email me at susan@nlptrainingconcepts.com. And I will be happy to help you in any way I can be more productive and get more things done, regardless of how much time you have.
Thank you for listening to the Brain Language Podcast. Please subscribe to our show on iTunes or your favorite listening platform to keep up with our newest episode. Be sure to visit our website, www.nlptrainingconcepts.com, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter by searching NLP Training Concepts to keep up with free resources, upcoming training, and fantastic content. Thank you for joining us and taking our minds to the next level. We'll see you next time.